listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Tuesday, January 12th, 2016, and it's week 7 of the Fantasy Movie League award season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm here with Nostradamus, I mean Patrick Reardon, the box office guy, who has to be feeling pretty good about The Forest and how it did last weekend.
It's a double-edged sword. I have a confession to make. I did something very foolish, Pete. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say, but yeah.
Okay. A lot of people I've spoken to who play the game, they tell me, like, oh my god, I forgot to set my lineup. Like, what do I do? I tell them, early in the week, just set a lineup with placeholders and do your research throughout the week to make your changes. So that's what I usually do. So I had a pretty generic lineup with some Star Wars, some Sister, some Good Dinosaur. And then for my column, I started doing some research, as you would have heard on the pod last week, or if you read the column, that I was pretty bullish on the prospects for The Forest, seeing as no horror movie in early January had ever opened up below $12.5 million in the last decade. So I didn't go back and change my lineup and put in all those Forest, and I'm just, it just irritates me to no end. Like, I knew it was coming, and I didn't, so I took a little drop in the standings, and I'm playing for next season, but I can still try and give advice to all those other players out there.
So it's safe to say you were not among the 142 people who played the perfect combination, which was Revenant and 7 times The Forest.
I was not. My plan had always been Star Wars, as much Forest as I could, and then filler, but no, I was not one of those lucky people.
Now, see, the irony there is I was going to play Star Wars and then The Big Short, and our conversation changed my mind.
See, Big Short, I would wait. Like, as we know, we'll get to it in a little bit, but Oscar nominations are coming out shortly, so once that's figured out, I think there's some movies that they're going to get a nice bump from that.
Yeah, I think they will. Well, thank you, because I benefited from that.
I'm glad it helped somebody, because God knows it didn't help me.
Well, it helped quite a bit of us. Well, let me throw you. I know you can't get through your week unless I give you my nerd stat.
It's like my saving grace during the week. It's something I've come to look forward to. What is the nerd stat this week?
Now, this one, I want to give props this week to a player who goes by the name of Nakatomi, because I'm taking this from a chatter post that I'm going to highlight during my column this week.
I'm still at the office right now. If I lean forward far enough, I can actually probably see Nakatomi Plaza from here, but not quite.
Wow, that's cool factor. So he or she put together a beautiful table that showed what combinations of different kinds of slots had always, in the past, gotten perfect cinema.
I'm with you.
And this is now, it's the highest. It's the fifth time that perfect cinema was one film and then 7 times another film. So think about that.
I've seen it before myself. Like, that's the strategy. Like, get your anchor, whatever you think. If something is going to do gangbusters, and then just fill up the rest of the lineup. Was Jurassic World one of those weekends?
Well, now you're making me recall that from memory.
And yeah.
I don't remember that off the
top of my
head.
I have a feeling it was. I remember it was incredibly expensive. You had to spend over $800 worth of your fantasy budget, and then you just had to use filler. I think that might have been one of the weeks. I could be mistaken. I'm sure somebody's on the chatter right now correcting me, so we'll have an answer soon enough.
Well, now speaking of that, so we do have the community to back us up here. So last week, I made the claim that it was the first time that Spotlight, it was the first time a film had left and come back. And I was very quickly corrected by SD Cinema.
And how quickly?
Who pointed out 3-4 minutes?
That,
yeah, it was something like that. That actually Inside Out left for multiple weeks and then came back.
Well, there we go. People are keeping us honest out there. God bless the chatter community.
Well, if people followed your advice like I did from one of my two accounts, it made about a $70 million difference between
You're just torturing me now.
Well, I am, yes. Between playing Perfect Combination and doing what I think conventional wisdom is usually what math my model spits out, which is that Star Wars and 7 times The Big Short that I talked about. So you play just the one account, right?
I just play on the one. Let's see. Yeah, one that I consistently play on. Like, at the beginning, I had a couple, but it was, as you know.
So I play the two accounts. So the reason I play the two accounts is someone asked me early in the fall season what would happen if you just played what your model spits out. What would your standings be like? So I run two accounts, one where I literally just take whatever the model says, no matter what other logic you might apply to that. And then the second one, I actually apply some logic to that. So the second of those was doing more poorly than the model-only one going into this last week. My top pick only account was at about 100th overall, and it slipped to 428th this week. My apply some logic account that I did end up playing the Revenant plus the seven times the Forest, that jumped from like the 300s to I'm sitting in 55th overall right now. So if you were lucky enough to listen, I know, and I didn't expect I would. So anybody who listened to you last week is looking pretty good right now.
As I said, I didn't help myself. I'm glad I helped others. So, like, that's the silver lining I'll take away from this.
All right. So let's give shout outs to some awards. So the week six score award winner is still pending according to the website. But as we're sitting here right now, the week six drawing winner for the T-shirt that went to Skip Scorpio.
Skip Scorpio has a very stylish Fantasy Movie League T-shirt to wear. It's quite dapper.
And I got an answer from our friend Almost Film Critic about the beard. You might remember we talked about his awesome beard he posted a picture of last week on Twitter. What do you think over under is on how long it take him to grow it out?
I'm trying to think of like how long it would take me, and that would take years. I'm guessing it's probably 6 months.
Four.
Ooh, okay. Well, 4 months. That's dedication. Good for him.
That is. Super dedication and very impressive overall. Now, if we look at the overall standings, D. Harkey 349 is now in the lead, followed by MG Movie Girl. And The Village Green, who was in first last week, is still hanging in there in third place. But if you look down a little bit further, some of the folks that are involved in the chatter, specifically Mara's Midnight Movie Madness, is lurking there in 13th place. So be on the lookout as that one continues as we move forward here.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the standings right now. It's pretty clustered. Anybody's game, like especially at the top, like could one and two be any closer? What is about 350,000 separates them? That's like an active Sunday afternoon matinee season for a spotlight there. I mean, that could be anything. So anybody's game up there.
Especially how crazy the awards season was. I wrote a special data article this week about how crazy the awards season has been. And I got a couple of colored tables in there that show you how different the award season has been compared to the far more predictable summer and fall movie seasons we had. So it's going to be interesting. We got 7 weeks left. The second half league started this week, and there's still a lot to be played here for the overall award season.
And like, you know, despite my like, you know, not putting the Forest in there, I'm going to keep battling till the end. You know, do I have any shot at the top? No, but I'm going to keep battling and trying to give people good advice. But there's a lot of the season left.
Well, next I want to throw out one shout out to a particular chatter thread that I really liked. So in particular, there was one, I think you probably know Ari's Amphitheater, who contributes quite a bit to the chatter.
I see him on the fret. He's on the chatter frequently.
He threw out this. Let me read this verbatim. Why can't studios just publish live box office results? Like every time a showing starts, the theater posts how many tickets are sold and how much. There's no way they don't immediately have that data. Then someone tallies all of it up and gives totals as they happen. Then we have our own version of Fantasy Cast. This is always the worst part of the FML week. I think he means referring to you get those initial estimates on Saturday and you have to wait till Monday till it's official.
Well, for starters, I think Ari makes an excellent point. It is a fantastic idea. I don't have the magic crystal ball. Like, I don't know why they don't do it. It might have something to do with advanced ticket sales, and like studios are always jockeying for position for bragging rights so they can say that they are the number one movie in the country. So everything comes out on Sunday night. But can you imagine if you were playing fantasy football? Like, I don't know if you're a player. Like waiting for the estimates to come in on Monday, like live scoring is a huge reason why fantasy football has become such like a boom business.
It would be excruciating, yeah.
Ari makes a good point. I don't know why they don't do it. Like maybe someday they might do it.
Okay, so 20th Century upped the ante on this same thread, and I think just described my dream job. So listen to this. So Ari, I think it should be a TV show on CNN hosted by Wolf Blitzer. He could have a giant interactive map he could point to state by state and then highlight which counties have reported their box office totals. He could project the forest to win the bonus, but then some young hipster with glasses and a bow tie would interrupt and say, "Sorry, Wolf, if you look closer at Lackawanna County, you'll see that 95% of the results from rural theaters, and we know the big cities like Scranton start reporting their numbers, it's going to swing things back over to the Big Short side. At this point, it's just too close to call."
You know, I would actually watch this. I would just like to see the touchscreen interactive map. I can see like the southeast of the country or like somewhere in the Bible Belt, just seeing this surge for like a faith-based film like War Room coming in strong and like late, or if it's a weekend like Star Wars, like the map is just completely blue, there's nothing to report on, and there's other weekends when you have something in limited release like The Revenant's doing really well in big cities, but like in the heartland, like something like a broad comedy's doing better. I would totally watch this.
Okay, that gives you some nerd cred, I think, there, Patrick. I hate to break that to you.
You know, I'm never going to, like, you know, establish as much nerd cred as you, but if I can get a little bit, like, I would totally watch this.
Yeah, I'm already addicted to just the idea of it. So, yeah.
You know, Pete, you could be that guy. It doesn't have to be a hipster. You could be the Nate Silver of this Wolf Blitzer-type show with box office results.
You're describing my dream job, definitely. You just open up the Pandora's box there. If you want me to start spouting quotes from The Signal and the Noise, his book that has become my forecasting Bible, I could probably do that at this point.
Make it happen. I'm going to stay on you for this.
Okay, no, I'll bring you some quotes next week, but let me throw this to you. There's a difference between trying to forecast earthquakes and trying to forecast hurricanes. Even though they're both natural phenomenon, you can forecast hurricanes. You can't forecast earthquakes. And it all has to do with the amount of data that you have at your disposal. Because all the data that involves a hurricane forecast are things like barometric pressure, temperature, wind speed, water temperature. Those are all things that you can measure. But the things that are required to try to predict earthquakes, they happen so far below the Earth's surface that you can't measure them all, so you can't predict when an earthquake's going to happen.
Like, we're both sitting here in the middle of Southern California right now. We could get hit by an earthquake at any second. We would have no idea it's coming.
So I think we've learned – what I've learned in playing this game for 6 months is that it's somewhere in between those two things. Like, you can predict things to a certain degree of accuracy, but you're still – weather and human behavior are two different things. And, like, the temperature is what the temperature is, but – when you're trying to measure human behavior and the effectiveness of like a marketing campaign to get somebody into the theater, there's just too many variables there. So it's somewhere in between those two extremes.
If you could actually measure human behavior and like ticket buying, like, you know, process, like studios wouldn't release bad movies. Every
exactly.
movie would be a hit. As we know, not every movie is a hit.
Exactly. Okay, with that nerd aside, let's turn to the View contest. So there's only 2 weeks left for that. To win the red carpet tickets, and John Haggerty's Cineplex is now the new leader there, and somehow I'm in 18th on that one now.
We should have led with that.
We should have led that I might win the trip.
We should
to the
have
red
led
carpet.
That you are in 18th in the View League.
Well, I am 42 million behind, so I'd need another Revorist kind of week in order to make that all happen.
Let's see. We'll get into the new movies coming up in a bit. I don't know if that sleeper is lurking there.
Now, did you see which host is now leading amongst the ladies?
Rumor has it Whoopi is now in the league. I don't know how this happened. I remember when Mr. Matthew Barry went on the show, she didn't seem that interested compared to the rest of the hosts, but she was clearly a sleeping giant and is now taking over the lead.
So either having an EGOT gives you inside information or she has the best assistant. I'm not sure which one of those is correct.
Probably a combination of both.
Probably. All right, let's move on to the new films here for week seven. We got three new films at our disposal that are in wide release here for the first time. Which one do you want to tackle first?
Why don't we start off the one that I think is... I don't think it's going to be very good, but I think it will win the weekend. Let's start with Ride Along 2.
Okay, so are you for or against Ride Along 2? Which would you take in the debate?
I am of the belief that I think it's going to do, relative to its price, I'm not a huge fan of it. It's very expensive. You can only play it once. And I think it's going to get off to a decent start. I think it'll do well. I don't think it's going to match its predecessor. I think the first Ride Along falls into the category of seen by many, loved by few. It dominated Martin Luther King weekend 2 years ago. That's why they've staked out the same weekend this year. I think the opening is going to be similar, probably a little bit less. The original opened in the high 40s. I think this one's looking more like low 40s and a lower domestic total. I'm just hoping it doesn't do well enough to lead us to a Ride Along 3. I don't think we need that.
So you're going under here. The pro box office long-term forecast for that one's $47 million. You're going under?
I'm going a little under there. I don't feel good. I don't feel great about it. It'll do fine, but 47 seems a little high to me.
Yeah, 47 seems high to me too. The thing that bugs me about it a little bit is, so it did 48 million 2 years ago over MLK weekend in 2014, but its competition was very, very different than what it's going to be facing this week. That time, the weekend prior, the two leading box office contenders the week prior were Lone Survivor, which brought in $37 million, almost 38, and the eighth week of Frozen.
I'm glad you brought up Lone Survivor. That'll be coming up in a little bit. But
yes, it will.
A totally different landscape. There's more competition this weekend compared to 2014. And I've got my column up. I'm writing it as we speak. And my thinking is that sequels of poorly reviewed comedies rarely top their predecessors. I'm looking at the numbers for the last decade. Big Mama's House 2, Hangover 3, Grown Ups 2, Paul Blart 2, they all took significant drops from their original movies, or the one that came directly before in the case of The Hangover. And all of those movies that I just mentioned, the predecessors were very poorly reviewed, and the sequels did I'd say significantly worse across the board.
So you're saying an 18% Rotten Tomatoes rating out of the original? We're calling that bad.
I don't think that's good.
All right. Okay, we're in agreement on that one. I agree. At the price, I probably wouldn't play it. So what about the other two?
13 Hours, again, I think it's a little expensive. Like, I know what Paramount's thinking here is. It's mid-January. Last year, American Sniper absolutely cleaned house, was the number one grossing movie of the year. The year before that, Lone Survivor went wide in mid-January and also did really strong business. So I get why they're choosing this release date, but those movies I just mentioned, American Sniper had Bradley Cooper, Clint Eastwood directing, and that movie kind of struck a chord, all over the country. It was the right movie at the right time. Lone Survivor had, your favorite, Mr. Mark Wahlberg, who you constantly underestimate. And this movie's got John Krasinski. Granted, it has Michael Bay, but I don't think there's any, transforming robots in this one. So I think it'll do okay. I'm not expecting boffo business, especially compared to Lone Survivor and American Sniper. I don't think it gets anywhere near that. It'll do okay. I'm not sold on it at all.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you just use the word boffo in a sentence?
I slip up sometimes.
Okay. So no love for Jim Halpert here is what you're saying.
Love him on The Office. He seems, funny guy. But I don't know if I'm ready to buy a John Krasinski action star.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Although
with you
I will
on this
say,
one.
Michael Bay has turned. I mean, he made Nicolas Cage an action star, so anything's possible.
Well, let me throw this one at you. In the last 10 years, can you name the lone Michael Bay release that did not involve transforming robots?
In the last decade,
yes.
It's either. Well, we're in 2016 now, so it's a trick question because The Island came out in 2005. I'm actually doing this from memory. I don't have my computer on that page right now. It's got to be Pain and Gain.
It is in 2013, which made $20 million in its opening, but that was in April, and it had both my beloved Marky Mark and The Rock in it.
I think that's actually a better comp for either of the war movies I just mentioned, and I think it's going to be closer to Pain and Gain number. And let's all remember what happened the last time Michael Bay took on a historical epic. Well, there's a misconception that Pearl Harbor actually bombed. It didn't bomb at all. It actually did quite well financially worldwide. It just wasn't a very good movie. So we can clear that up. Was it a good movie? No, but the movie actually did well. It made about $200 million in the U.S. on about $135 million budget and did just as well worldwide. That movie made money, but, I mean, I don't think anybody's, like, you know, putting it on their top 10 list of all time.
Most businesses that I've worked in, if you were making $70 million in profit, you're probably not complaining about that.
I don't even know, like, the Hollywood accounting, like, not accounting for DVDs and all of that stuff, but that movie definitely made money for Disney.
All right. Now, what about we get back to kids animation this week here?
Okay, this is my kryptonite. Unless it's a big DreamWorks or Pixar or like an established sequel, like I have no idea what to make of Norm of the North. You have kids. You live in this world a little bit. What's your sense of that?
Well, I'm on the same thing. So my daughter's 14 now. So I'm not in quite the kid world that Norm of the North is hitting on. But yeah, I mean, if it was up to me, if it's a Pixar or a DreamWorks movie, I'm in. But if it's something else, then I'm probably not. But then it doesn't explain, you know, the comp that most people are talking about is The Nut Job, right? Which in 2014 brought in $25.7 million.
But the one thing The Nut Job had going for it that Norm of the North, unless I'm really mistaken, The Nut Job is a spinoff of a very successful animated franchise with Fox's Ice Age. So, like, any of that residual Ice Age business kind of trickled down to The Nut Job. I don't think Norm of the North has anything feeding that.
Now, the one that scares me, if you're pointing to The Nut Job as the plus for this movie, you have to point to Shaun the Sheep movie, I think, as the minus, which comes out of the same studio distributor here, but was disappointing in August with only a $4 million opening.
I think I used it as filler, and it still cost me money.
Yeah, I think it might have. All right, so I think we're both saying here we don't like any of the new movies. But what about holdovers? Because we had some awards this week, and we got some more announcements coming this week.
The Revenant did very well at the Golden Globes. Picture, director, and actor. Oscar nominations, I believe, come out on Thursday morning. I think The Revenant is an absolute lock, and I think it's going to get a nice bump. I don't think it's going to get an overall box office bump. But I think its decline is going to be very mild this week. So I kind of like The Revenant. I'm trying to build my lineup around it.
Ooh, that's going bold. What do you think about Spotlight? So about an hour before we recorded this here on Tuesday evening, B.S. White 1970 created a new chatter thread announcing that Spotlight, according to Box Office Mojo, is going to expand this week. It's going to expand by over 603 theaters. What impact do you expect that's going to have, provided it has a good Thursday at the announcements?
I think it'll get a nice bump. You don't make an expansion like that if you're not confident that you're going to get a bevy of awards nominations on Thursday morning. Like, I wouldn't read too much into the fact that Spotlight was shut out of the Golden Globes. Remember, the Golden Globes is voted on by the Hollywood Foreign Press, which is, I think the voting body is slightly under 100 foreign journalists, so you can wine and dine these people, and you can essentially buy an award. So the fact that Spotlight didn't do well at the Golden Globes, I wouldn't read too much into that. I think it's going to get a lot of Oscar nominations, and I think it's going to get a nice bump as a result of that.
So you think that has more to do with the expense account for buying drinks than it does about the quality of the...
With the Golden Globes, I absolutely do. I've heard of what comes in this gift basket. It's quite astonishing. I'd love for one of those to fall off a truck, and I would just scoop it up. It sounds fantastic.
Now, later in this thread, BS 1970 also has a really nice list here of movies that got big Oscar nominations that also accompanied theater expansions for MLK weekend. So I'm going to put a link to this in my column this week, but if you're listening to this before my column comes out on Thursday, take a look at that. It's a really nice list that includes Birdman, Foxcatcher, 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, Life of Pi, Argo, The Iron Lady, and The King's Speech. So there's some really interesting data there that would make Spotlight a contender for Best Performer. It's priced low enough. You probably can't afford to play it, I'm going to guess here, more than four times. I'm just kind of doing the math in my head here a little bit, but we'll see how that plays out a little bit later in the week once we get a better set.
Right now, my tentative lineup, I still haven't made my final decision. I have three Spotlights at the bottom because I do think it's going to get the major nominations. I think picture, director, screenplay, hopefully a few people in the cast, although I don't know if you've seen Spotlight. There's about four supporting actors who are worthy of nominations. I think they might cancel each other out. Wouldn't shock me if Rachel McAdams is the only person who gets nominated out of the cast.
Okay.
Because she has far less competition because she's essentially the only woman in the movie.
Now, let me ask you something else about the Golden Globes, since you've been in this industry your whole career here.
See.
Explain to me The Martian and its categorization as a musical or comedy, given that you claim the dance break in The Martian was cut out of the film.
Okay, again, like I said, the Golden Globes, it's 100 people vote. You can wine and dine them. You can more or less buy an award. Everybody in town knows this. I think the belief is there are enough laughs in this movie to put it in the comedy category and you have a good chance of winning Best Picture. If you put it in the drama category, you're probably going to lose out to The Revenant or Spotlight because there's a lot more competition in the drama category. But if you put if you want to mask The Martian as a comedy and then you put it in the musical or comedy category, you're immediately the big dog there. If people want to vote for you, because it probably is the best movie of the five nominated, even though it's not a comedy. Yes, I laughed several times at it, but there's nothing really like to classify it as a comedy. And I joke about it, but there actually was there was disco music in it, but let's not call it a musical. So it's just totally a PR move because they know they had a better chance at winning a Golden Globe trophy if you put it in that category. And it worked out.
Well, it hit iTunes this week, and I'm going to be getting on a plane soon. So I think that's going to be an iTunes rental for Hear Me.
Yeah, we haven't. And speaking of iTunes, we haven't discussed this. We are now officially the Fantasy Movie League podcast is on iTunes. How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm sure like you, I felt the wash of legitimacy come over me on Friday when that happened. Put it this way, my brother-in-law, who I'm closest to, wouldn't listen to the podcast until it came on iTunes, and he gave his thumbs up after.
Well, he's a podcast snob, but I'll forgive him for that. And we're not quite at the Marc Maron and Bill Simmons and Adam Carolla or Spotlight level yet, but everything's got to start somewhere. So I do feel like a little bit of legitimacy. It's a nice start for us.
My mom was really impressed. So
really,
yeah.
Like, you can't really, like, put a podcast and, like, you know, put a magnet and put it on the fridge. So what did she do?
Well, no, she was just excited that it was, you know, legit and she could do a podcast. She could do an iTunes search and something I did was on it.
Did she tell the other gals at the beauty parlor?
Mom doesn't run in beauty parlor kind of circles. Mom runs in more, like, coaches' wives circles. My dad was a high school football coach for 30 years, so
okay,
I'm sure
at the team banquet, I'm sure she was bragging about it.
They do a breakfast on Friday mornings with this coaching crew at like a Denny's, and at like 5 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous like that. And I'm sure it came up there.
Well, see, like she's now saying my son's on iTunes. I think it's a good talking point.
Yeah, it is. So one more worth mentioning before we cut out of here. Let's talk about Star Wars. So it dipped 53% last week. Is it going to continue to fall like a rock?
I think now that the kids are back in school, the holidays are over. And, I mean, just look at how much money it's made. Like, the damage is done. It is the top grossing film of all time. As I sit here, I was looking at the exact number. It is, let's see, $815 million plus, and it has a shot at $900 million. What can you say about that? Yes, it's going to continue to dip, but like I think everybody who has wanted to see it has already seen it, so it is going to fade away gradually, but it's still going to like just pad its stats, and it's going to be a really big number by the end.
Yeah, they're definitely going to make their money back of that $4 billion purchase. But
I think they're off to a nice little start, especially since we're going to be getting another one of these movies like every year for just about what seems like the next decade.
Now that we're through it, though, I mean, the way they released it, right? It got released the weekend before Christmas, and it happened to be a year in which Christmas was a Friday, and then, by extension, New Year's Day was a Friday. So it kind of got the benefit of two holiday weekends back-to-back.
I think that's a huge reason why Disney decided, like, why release this in the summer? Like, let's take our new investment and let's own Christmas. And they did. Like, great marketing, great strategy all around. Hats off to them.
Well, I think that's going to be about it for us. So that's it for week 7 of the Fantasy Movie League award season. Patrick, you want to give a Twitter shout out?
You can always follow me at the Box Office Guy on Twitter. And of course, you can now follow us on iTunes since we're semi-legitimized.
So I can be found on Twitter at NerdGuru. You can get your own Fantasy Movie League gear now at the fantasymovieleagueshop.com. And you can look for news on Twitter from at @FML_movies and on Facebook as well if you do a search on Fantasy Movie League. This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com.